our divine purpose. Ha, 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 our divine purpose. This is Dr. Harrell Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Our divine purpose. Isn't that the biggest joke you ever heard in your life? What is our divine purpose? I know. I was just at an INTA convention, and I found out what my divine purpose was. My divine purpose was to go out and make peace on earth. My divine purpose was to put on my overalls and go out and help people and to feed 20 or 100 people so that they don't starve. My divine purpose is to go out and bring medicine to people because they're sick and they need it. My divine purpose is to go out and help two or three people. You know, we are so off base there. At the INTA convention, International New Thought Alliance convention in Phoenix, Arizona, we had, close to 300 or 400 ministers and practitioners of religious science, unity, and divine science. Nobody else was there, just those three organizations. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful to be there because all of them were very taken by the idea that we should all get out and do something, social action, to help the world. Well, now, many of the traditional religions do this, and that's a lovely thing. I mean, you know, you can't knock it. You can't knock it when you help the homeless people and you help the sick people and you help the third world people and things like that. But what about you, Ellen? How many millions of dollars are you going to give to the third world people? And what about you, Sam? How many hours of your day are you going to give to working at the bread line and feeding people? And Ingeborg, how many hours of the day are you going to go folding bandages and making things, tourniquets and stuff like that, so that they can have these services that they need? And Sylvia, how many hours a day are you going to spend worrying about the people of the world and saying, how can I help them? How can I help them? How can I help them? This is what we do. Now, it's unfortunate that this has to happen to us, because help one another, the bluebird sings. You remember the song, you know? And so we're all supposed to go out and help our neighbor, be our brother's keeper. Well, I would like to present us with another possibility. Let's be God, and let's create the world as God created it. I don't know when it got changed, but let's create the world like God created it in the very beginning. And he said, oh, it is good and very good. He didn't just say it was good. He said it was good and very good. Now, can we do less? Okay. Now, did God create people poor?
No.
No. Did God create people sick? No. Did God create people with poor relationships? No. Did God create people hating each other? No. Did God create people with war? No. The first chapter of the Bible in Genesis is the metaphysical, fantastic story of the development of the creation of humanity that was done from an inspirational, spiritual, divine being who presented that story. We'll never know who it was. It was a long time ago. Then you get to the second chapter of Genesis, and then you get into the narrative. Let's have some blood and guts. Let's have some gore. Let's have some accidents. Let's have some problems. And so the problems came. Now, where was God in all this? God said in the second chapter, Adam, where are you? And Adam says, well, I have sinned. I am making a mistake. I ate of the apple. You told me not to eat. Well, come out here. Come on. I'm not dressed. What do you mean you're not dressed? I created you. Why are you not dressed? You're wearing your natural suit, that you're the birthday suit I gave you. Is there something wrong with it? Well, God, you know, can you see the moralism? Can you see how humanity wants to moralize everything? They forget that we are creators like God, as God, because we are God, and we create everything in that way. And if we're going to create limitation for us and create the idea that we can ever do anything wrong, can you ever eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil and have it be wrong? No. The only time it's wrong is when you start judging. And of course, this is what happens when you eat of the knowledge of the tree of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You start judging and you start making determinations that these things are right and these things are wrong. But the first chapter, no way. It's beautiful. Okay, let's just lay all that out and say, what do we do, Herb? That's my name, Herbie. Now, what do we do, Herb? Well, I say, let's go back to basics. Let's go back to the first chapter in Genesis. And let's say, Jesus Christ is a great guy. He was teaching us to do these things, and all these other people, prophets and wonderful Jewish leaders who came along were great. They all had a wonderful story to tell. But that first chapter of Genesis, why is it in the Bible? It's a wonderful chapter. And it says, we should be created the same way. I created man in my image, in the image of myself I created him. And perfect. Okay, now, how did God create man? How did God create the world? How did God create anything? He spoke his word. And he said, let there be light, and there was light. And he said, let there be man and woman. He didn't say, let there be man and then another woman come along later, because the women are a poor example of man. Woman said that, not man. Woman is always backing away from her man. Woman is always bowing down to her man and letting man be the matriarchal image of the world. And silly. Woman and man are absolutely the same. Absolutely the same. They're just carrying out little different images and messages of what creation does. The sperm and the egg and that sort of stuff, you know. And that's okay. But that's where it ends. That's where it ends. Man is as nurturing a parent as a woman is as nurturing a parent. A woman can suckle a baby, but a man can't do that. Some men think they can, but they can't. But the point is, it's just a matter that we can all do all these things. Now, what did God do and how did God create it? How did God bring this forth? He spoke his word. We speak our word. We are God. Now, what are we going to speak our word for? We have a statement, thank you, and the statement says, there now is peace on earth, and it has begun with me. Well, the story that we hear is, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. And this is super. Oh, this feels so good. Let it happen. Let it be, God. Oh, God, let it be. Instead of, it is done. What kind of God are we? Are we a milquetoast type of God? Are we a God that is hoping that we have the power available to us? Now, what is that power? The power is the law of cause and effect. We merely speak our word into the law of cause and effect. Now, how many hungry people can you feed in an afternoon? How many people can you clothe? How many people can you fold bandages for and make well? How many people can you do these things for? Only a limited number. But when you say, I am God, which is what we're told to say, because that's what we are. When you say, I am God, then you act like God. Now, God is lightning and thunder and, you know, that sort of stuff. Hell and damnation, no way. Jesus said God was a God of love. That sounds good to me. Now, what is this kind of God? This God who created this world is me. He created this world to be a loving world, a fun world, a joyous world. Be yourself and have fun. This is what this God did. So now, how can I feed the people on earth who are hungry and sick? Hey, they want to be hungry and sick. Oh, Herb, that is terrible. That is thoughtless. That is uncaring. No, it isn't. And you know why they want to be hungry and sick? Do you know why? Do you know why they want to die? Do you know why they want to have problems with their relationships? You know why? Because you create them that way. Because I, as God, create them wanting those things. Now, what can we do about it? My goodness sakes. What we can do about it is to put a new cause in motion. Create every single person on the face of the earth living harmoniously with everyone in their world. Create every person on the face of the earth having more food than they know what to do with, having more clothes and objects and things that please them than they know what to do with. Being their own master, living in their own life. Now, how can that be? Well, that guy who was our teacher, the master teacher, you may have heard of him, Jesus, you know, he said, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven, because they are the innocent ones. And he says, you are not listening to me. I told you. Does not God care for the sparrow of the sky? And should he fall, would not God be aware? And does not he provide them with raiment, with clothing, more glorious than anything you have ever been able to knit and sew and crochet for yourself? My goodness sakes! Yes. So, we as God create the world. Joyous, wonderful, loving, fantastic. Now, how do we do it? We do it with the law of cause and effect. We put the law in motion for the cause we want. And we do not stop there. We do not stop there. We do not say, what is my brother doing? Is he being unkind or mean or hateful? No. There is no Hussein in this world. There is no Hitler in this world. There is no ugly person in this world, whoever we may want to name them. There are only beautiful people in this world. And should another person come along like Hitler and do the wonderful things he did and then forget who he was, we see him remembering who he was. We see him, we forget him, and we say, hey, you're great. You're a genius. You're fantastic. You don't need to do that. We create him that way. We create him a master of himself, not going out and destroying the world or needing to own the world. I was thinking, wouldn't it be fun, and I like doing things that are fun, wouldn't it be fun to take all the leaders of the world, all of them, of every country on earth, and put them in a room. I like to put them in a room naked, but put them in a room and let them do whatever they want. And their weapon is their heart. And put them in the room and let them talk their ideas out and say, how do you handle this sort of thing in America? How do you handle this thing in Ghana? You know, how do you handle this sort of thing in Japan? How do you handle this sort of thing? And they talk to each other and they say, yeah, but you got money and we don't. Yeah, but you have the same power of thought that we have. And that power of thought is what you can put in motion and bring about anything you want. Do you know that the people in Ghana are just as beautiful as the people in New York City? And maybe even more beautiful? You know why? Because there are fewer of them. No. Do you know why the people of Ghana are just as beautiful as the people anywhere else in the world? Because that's the way I created them. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think that they have streets that need repairing and they have this and that and the other. I don't care. Wherever I go, there will be something that needs to be done. And what will I do? It is now done. It is now whole and perfect. It is now in divine order. Everything in Ghana is in divine order. Everything in New York is in divine order. Everything in Paris is in divine order. Everything in every country in the world is in divine order. But that's no fun. There's nothing to contest me. There's nothing to argue about. There's nothing to be... Well, that's right. And why are you fighting for your problems? You're only making them yours more and more. Why not, instead of fighting for your problem, start to recognize the truth that all is in divine order right now? We say we should return to our original purity and integrity. Well, what is our integrity? What is our original purity? Our original purity and integrity is speaking our word that all is in divine order right now. When we start doing that, we're living our real purpose, our divine purpose. When we start doing that, there is peace on earth. Now, from this place here in Campo, California, we speak our word every day that all is in divine order throughout the world, throughout the universe, throughout all that is. All is in divine order. We don't know what's going on in the world. We don't read the newspaper, watch television, enter in the... We don't have to, because you cannot know everything that's going on in the world. Do you know what's going on in the backyard in Switzerland, in St. Gallen? You don't know. You're not there. You don't have the slightest idea. You may have known it years ago, but you don't know it now. And we don't know these things, what are going on in the world that we used to say that we knew about, you know, because we're not there. So why read the newspapers about some specific little thing that's going on here or there? It has no effect on us. Rather say, all is in divine order. If something negative comes to your attention, all is in divine order. But that's running away. Oh, no. That's facing it straight up and giving it a name. All is in divine order. Instead of giving it a name, it's bad. This is our divine purpose. This is what INTA is all about. The International New Thought Alliance, made up of unity people, religious science people, and divine science people. Wonderful people who care about the world with love and peace and harmony. They like to say there are other organizations in there, but they never mention them, so I doubt that they're in there. They may be there by fact, but not by recognition. So we just let them be, and we don't need recognition. Do you need to recognize that you are a woman? No, you know it. Do you need to be recognized that you're a man? You know it. You don't need to go any place and have to say, oh, you are a man, you are a woman, you know. No, you just go someplace. You are a beautiful person. You are a divine being. You are glorious. But I'm a man. You really got to hang up with me. No, I'm a divine being. You're a divine being. All in the world are divine beings. And that's what we're working with. And they're wonderful. Now, are you ready to live your life like that? Are you ready to give up these old hang-ups that, my name is John, you've got to call me John. You can't say Johnny. You can't say this. My goodness. We met a glorious woman at the INTA. Her name was Deborah.
Ah, yeah, Deborah.
Deborah. Her name was Deborah. And then she changed it to Debbie, and she changed it down to D and stuff. And she says, I don't like my name. And then Ellen says, Deborah, what a lovely name. And she meant it. And I mean it. What a lovely name. What a glory. And you're such a glorious woman. Deborah. Oh. But I wish other people tried. Well, help them. Help them. Ellen is a rather strange lady from Switzerland. And people come up and say, Ellen, how do you pronounce your name? And she says, Jeremini. And she rolls her R's and makes it totally difficult. But Jeremini. Jeremini. People say, how do you pronounce your name, Herb? At Christmas time, you buy early. Buy early. You buy early. That's buy early. That's my name. Buy early. Buy early. Always think of that and just keep buying for me early. And I accept. You know. But you see, let's begin to appreciate who we are and what we are, that we are Deborah.
Deborah.
Deborah. I mean, you know, I don't even have it proper, but you got to learn to say it. You got to learn to say it. But you learn to say it. We have some silly names like Humpernickel, you know, and a lot of other silly names, and we learn to say them. But how do we learn to say them? By people who, Eisenhower. Who'd know how to say Eisenhower? You know, Ike Eisenhower and so on. And because he's famous, because his name is in the news, because people are saying it often, we hear it on our ears. So whenever someone says your name and they say it incorrectly, you say, oh, excuse me, I pronounce it Deborah. And then we'll pronounce it Deborah. And we'll put the love into it. I spoke with a French man today, and I was telling him about these things here, and he was saying, oh, that sounds so, in French, that sounds really fantastic, you know. And I said to him, you know, I wish I could speak with that lovely lilt that you have to the English language. It is so charming and so, oh, you really think so? And I said, you bet. I said, you are a wonderful guy. And he looked at me and he gave me a big smile and a big handshake. And I said, we hug everybody here. He says, oh, good. And he gave me a big hug. But that was right in the breakfast line because I'm working my way out, you know, and I'm working the crowd and visiting everybody and saying goodbye and hello. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. But be yourself and have fun. What is our divine purpose? Our divine purpose is to be ourselves and have fun and to be no less than God, however we conceive God to be and however we conceive God to create our world. We create our world. And we create our world good and very good. And let's never forget that. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I'm so glad to be home again.